Something for the weekend. Good morning, it's Trina, and oh God, it's gone freezing now these days. Deirdre Ryan is on the line from drdogcare.ie. Morning, Deirdre, how are you?
Morning, Trina, I'm great. How are you?
Are you still coping okay, walking the dogs in the absolute freezing cold?
Yeah, you know, dogs need to be walked. They don't care about the bad weather, most of them. Most of them still want to get out there and walk them.
Yeah, I know. I'm just looking for an excuse. Listen, Deirdre, I want to talk to you today about the amount of puppies, and I've noticed it a lot, people getting puppies this year in particular, but Christmas is just around the corner, and look, we don't know what's going to happen, whether people are going to be allowed to have visitors over or what the story will be, but there's no doubt that these puppies are going to come in contact with people they don't know. So you got some tips today, or some advice for people who have puppies for the first time on what to do.
Exactly. So I suppose, you know, a lot of these COVID puppies would be, you know, some people might have gotten more recently. The first batch would be coming on about a year. You know, they would have got them in March. They would have been born maybe around January. So they're coming up to a year old, which is a tricky age for a dog. So there's a few things to consider. If you, in general, have a dog that's very nervous, that never really adapted to meeting lots of different people and just genetically has a poor, you know, anxious temperament, don't expect that dog to turn around and start welcoming visitors on Christmas Day with open arms. So for that type of dog that really isn't comfortable with strange people in the house, do your dog a favor and just put him out of the way. So put him into a back room, somewhere where he's familiar with, where he's comfortable, maybe somewhere where he sleeps. Bring him for a nice walk that morning, you know, and leave him with a lovely, comfortable chew, and just keep him safe and secure and just keep him out of the way. There's absolutely nothing wrong with doing that, especially if you're not regularly having visitors anyway, and this is just a once-off thing. Not much is going to be gained in one session, so to speak. Now, if your dog is in general a nice-natured dog and enjoys meeting people, just maybe hasn't had the same exposure to people coming into his territory with all the restrictions that have been turning on and off for the last few months, there is absolutely things you can do to make sure your dog is happy and visitors are happy. So one of the first things I would say, and this in general would go for most dogs, is when the doorbell rings or the knock comes on the door, pop your dog again into that back room, a utility, a kitchen, even outside, or into the crate, somewhere they're familiar with. It's not, you're not punishing the dog, you're just getting the dog out of the way for the initial excitement of the visitors coming. Because dogs feed off our energy, and if we're all hugging each other and, I haven't seen you in ages, how's it going? The kids are running around screaming. Dogs feed on that, and that's where the excitement levels can get too high, where people might get nipped or someone trips over a dog, or a dog jumps up on somebody on granny and knocks her over. So if you can keep your dog away for that initial excitement, let everyone come in, get the jackets off, say the hellos, get settled on the couch. And then after 10 or 15 minutes, let the dog in. Maybe keep him on the lead if people in the household, some of the visitors aren't maybe 100% familiar with the dog. Keep him on lead at the start and let him go and say his little hellos. And then it can be good to deflect the attention away then from the visitors by maybe having a Kong toy or a treat ball. You know, once he doesn't have guarding issues, of course, give him something to kind of deflect the attention away then from all the visitors, so the excitement kind of pans down a little bit. Same as giving someone a drink when they come in the door.
Yeah.
Give him something to do to distract from all the excitement that inevitably there will be on Christmas Day.
Because there are some dogs who will actually pee, won't they, with the excitement when they see someone.
Oh, yeah, submissive urination. Yeah. Most puppies will do it, and a lot of them will grow out of it. But for some dogs, those nervous, anxious ones, and it's a way, you know, the worst thing you can do in that scenario is punish the dog, because what the dog is doing is saying, look, me, you know, I'm not even potty trained yet, I'm only a little puppy, I'm no threat, you know, please don't hurt me. That's actually what the dog is trying to get across. And some people misinterpret that and just think the dog is being bold, and they punish it, and then the dog is even more worried. So it often gets worse. It's a physiological reaction to a threat. The dog is trying to appease, like an appeasement gesture. The dog is trying to say, don't hurt me, I'm friendly. Most dogs grow out of it.
Do you ever deal with people, Deirdre, who are afraid of dogs and try to overcome that fear with them? Because there are people who would dread the thought of going to somebody's house if they had a dog.
Yeah. And I have friends who are scared of dogs. I just put the dogs out of the way and they come to the house. I have worked with a young boy who was frightened of dogs, and we did several sessions, and he did come a certain level. But unfortunately, you can control it to a certain extent, but unfortunately, there's people out there who don't control their dogs. And, you know, any person who's frightened of dogs, if they go to a local park, there's always going to be the chance that, you know, a friendly dog will wander over and maybe jump up with them or just get too close for comfort. So, you know, I always have loads of sympathy for people who are frightened of dogs, because it can restrict their standard of living and their quality of life so much. It's quite sad.
When a dog jumps, then what do we do?
So jumping up is such a common problem. Dogs do it when they're small. They do it as greeting because they want to get up to your face and lick you like they would do with their mother. And of course, we tolerate it when they're small, they're cute, they're fluffy. Then, of course, as they get bigger and older, as you know, your labs and dirtier and smellier and heavier, we tolerate it less. So most dogs jump up to get that bit of attention. And for a dog, attention is eye contact, touching them or even pushing them down. So if you can do the exact opposite, and the very second they jump up, I usually like to give some kind of a cue, like ah or no, just to let them know that I'm not happy with what they've done.
Yeah.
And then put in a consequence. So I would fold my arms, turn around and give zero eye contact. Most dogs, after a few repetitions, will learn if they want you to hang around and interact with them, it's much more beneficial if they put the feet on the ground. And from a training point of view, you know, make that extra effort to teach the sit. Every time the dog wants something, if he wants a piece of food, he wants attention. Anytime he wants attention, get him to sit. So you'll have an automatic sit response then for attention rather than that jumping up response.
Yeah. Yeah, sounds good, because what you want is a nice relaxed home, don't you? And not to be worrying every time someone knocks on the door, there's absolute panic, you know?
Yeah, dogs are territorial. We've genetically bred a lot of them to specifically be territorial. So even though they can adapt to regular visitors coming to the house, half of us want them to bark. Most people want the dog to bark. You want to be able to switch it off, and you want them to recognize when it's someone friendly and when it's somebody not friendly. So we do put a lot of pressure on our dogs to accept things that naturally they really wouldn't. So we need to see it from their point of view. And some dogs, like my own dog, she got a fright when she was about 9 months of age with somebody coming to the back door, which somebody normally would never come to my back door. And it was lashing raining. He was a very tall man and it was very dark. And she got the fright of her life. I did as well. He'd come in through a side gate and come to the back of my house.
Oh, my
God. Front door, you know, so it was very strange. So she got a fright. I got a fright. And even since then, she's been spooky with kind of people coming to the house. I have builders here at the moment and she's not happy at all. But, you know, I'm keeping her safe. I'm keeping her in the house. I'm letting her know, you know, I'm comforting her a bit when she's anxious. I'm nearby. I don't expect her to be best friends with builders. They'll be gone in a few weeks and she never has to see them again. But I keep the builder safe and I keep her safe by keeping everyone separate and happy until it passes. One instance of fear can really carry through to a dog's life, and they can generalize very easily. Things that we wouldn't even realize they can generalize. They can do it so easily. And a fear response can kind of come up in various different circumstances, and we might not link it back to that initial occurrence, but in the dog's mind it's so similar that they still have the same reaction. Do you understand?
Yeah. What are you getting done? I'm going to be nosy. What building work are you getting done?
I live in a cottage and I got an extension done about 4 years ago, and I have twin girls, as you know, they're nearly eight, and we share one bathroom and they share a room. So I'm predicting for the future that we're all going to murder each other when they turn the terrible teenage years.
You're future proofing.
So there's two small bedrooms so they can have a bedroom each. And a utility for all my animals, because I've gained two dogs since I was talking to you last.
You haven't.
Now I have five. So I'm building a dog room and a cat room, basically, and a twin room. And then I can have the rest of the house in
peace. When are you going to stop getting dogs, Deirdre?
I know. I have a very elderly 15-year-old dog called Maggie, and I have her daughter, Tilly, who's eight. And I always wanted to keep that line alive, because it's so hard to get a genetically healthy and well-tempered dog. And Maggie, who's 15, actually also groomed her mother and her grandmother. And they have fabulous temperaments and fabulous health, and lived until they were 16, the grandmother did. So I'd be just so heartbroken if anything happened to any of my dogs. And as a groomer, you see so many illnesses and health issues with dogs. I wouldn't want that. I wanted these dogs because I know they're healthy and I know they have a fabulous temperament. So Tilly, her daughter, had puppies there. They're nearly 11 weeks now. So we were keeping one, and then she only had two, and they were twin girls, and I have twin girls, so you can kind of guess what's happened.
Oh, Deirdre, what are you like?
They're staying.
You're committed for another 16 years at least to never get
in
a holiday.
I know, but listen, I'm committed to them. That's the main thing. And she said, my twins are going to do all the work, Trina. I won't have to lift a finger.
Oh, yeah, I'd say that's exactly what's going to happen. I remember we did that as children too. We signed a contract saying that we'd pick up the poo and we do the walks and we do everything. But
I like that idea of a contract. I think I'll get mine witnessed by a solicitor.
Do. Lovely. Listen, Deirdre, how can we contact you if we need help either with our behavioural training or grooming?
Yeah, you'll find me on deirdogcare.ie, and you'll find me on Instagram and Facebook also.
Lovely. Thanks, Deirdre. We'll chat to you soon. This is Something
Take
for the
care,
Weekend.
Tina.
It's Classic Kids.